If you listen to this podcast, you clearly appreciate quality. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. We offer guitar repair of the highest quality. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store or a snarky boutique, take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
Hey, Governor Walker, get to know our state. We treat each other with respect. We bargain and negotiate. Hey, Governor Walker, you better go back to school. Study our democracy and brush up on the golden rule.
Hey, yeah, going back to our golden oldies from 2011, the great Ken Longquist. With Hey Governor Walker, Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now. The song is applicable now as it was 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. That governor of ours is still not a very savory character, Sly.
What is going on?
I mean, you know, he wanted the brass ring. In 71 days, the people of America said, no, you do not get the brass ring. He had to come back to us, which is his consolation prize. And now, because Trump doesn't want him in the administration, he is running again with us being the consolation prize, trying to do something only one other person in the history of the state of Wisconsin has done, and that is get elected for a third term as governor.
And he's going to try to do it off the backs of the poor.
Without a doubt. I mean, so way back, Sly, you may not remember this, right after Walker got elected in 2014, first thing we did was we pointed out that he actually, in his acceptance speech that night, used the word Washington more times than he used the word Wisconsin. Not long after that, we got somebody who called us and said, hey, I just got a call from Walker. He's polling. And one of the questions was about drugs and drug testing. And lo and behold, that's what Walker went out and started campaigning for president on. You know, as he traveled around and raised money using his 527 for a while before he formally announced beginning that 71-day odyssey. He went around and he got cheers saying, you know, he was going to drug test people. Because, you know, if you're poor, it means you're on drugs, Sly.
Well, I think
so. We need to test you because, well, good white people like Scott Walker, who get our tax dollars and whose family get our tax dollars and whose family get our health care and whose family get our security detail and whose family get our state mansion, they don't need to be drug tested. But, you know, the rest of the poors, they need to be drug tested because they're clearly on drugs and they are sapping from us our resources.
Do we drug test the people that Weedick, Scott Walker's Weedick?
No, as I understand it, and they need to blow on nothing, like a breathalyzer, give their blood.
Glad you qualified that.
They need wrap their mouths around nothing in order to get Walker's Weedick money.
Isn't that something? Scott, that's very eloquent. Since you've put this out there, there has been some blowback that the governor obviously taking.
Pun intended.
25,000 dollars from the National Governors Association. What is the hemp industry? Is that right?
What it was he took. I was going through the Republican Governors Association finance reports, which you can actually get if you have any amateur sleuths out there, and I know you do in Sly's Army. If you want to get 527 organizations' contributions, things like Walker's old 527 or the Republican Governors Association, you can go to irs.gov and click, there's a thick up in the top right corner that says information for, click on nonprofits, then click on political organizations, and type in the name of the 527 you want to do, and it'll pull up their reports. And I, you know, since he's the head of the RGA, we've started going through those reports to see how, you know, we sort of have a blueprint for how he sells off the state of Wisconsin to his donors for governor. We have a larger idea of who he's selling our state off to for the $17 million he just cashed in from the Republican Governors Association. Buried in there was a $25,000 contribution from Denver, Colorado's National Cannabis Industry Association. And they are literally the trade association for legalized weed. And I'm not here to debate whether or not weed should be legal or not. You know, depending on how I feel that day, you get a different answer, right? If I'm trying to order a pizza and it's taking too long, I might be opposed to it. If my pizza comes quickly and politely, I'm for it. But the idea that this guy who wants to drug test poor people, who wants to take away your job training, who wants to take away your health care with Medicaid, who wants to take away your food stamps, your food share, because you test positive for weed, when he's taking $25,000 from the weed industry, it is a hypocrisy, Sly, in my 20 years here I have never seen before. It is so outrageous.
This guy wouldn't have been a hero in the French Revolution.
He's
no Bastille Day.
Yeah, I mean, he will just take anything, do anything, you know, do anything in order to win an election.
Well, because people haven't held him accountable.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And we did a press conference with, you know, our dear friends, Jimmy Anderson, State Rep Jimmy Anderson, and Senator LaTanya Johnson.
Two of the nicest people in the legislature.
Absolutely, two of the real heroes. I'd love to see the two of them on a ticket one day running for the top office in the state, that's for sure. And they just tore him to pieces on this. I threw the information out, and they just went at it. And one of the things that LaTanya pointed out was, that $25,000 is what basically somebody who is eligible for SNAP makes, a family. That's their income. And when Scott Walker finally was actually asked about this, and let me just say that, like, at no point in time, you know, the members of the media who were kind enough to come to our press conference all called his office. His office said, call the RGA. And it was left at that. You know, nobody would get Walker on the record. Somebody up in the public radio reporter up in Green Bay, he was up there doing some kind of, you know, photo op. She asked him about it. And you know what he said, Sly? He said, if you look at that dollar amount versus the tens of millions of dollars we've raised, I doubt this has any more influence. I mean, he literally just said, like, it's not enough to buy him off.
Wow. You know, I'm betting you could go find something in his campaign finance report where somebody did buy him off for $25,000.
Oh, yeah, that is for sure. And yeah, I mean, that's the way this guy operates.
Oh, I'm surprised he didn't make him
apply to him.
I'm surprised he didn't make himself a victim like he was during the healthcare debate this spring when Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson confronted him. He was so affronted that somebody would even question him.
Well, and, you know, that's why people like, you know, and people, they furrow their noses at folks like me and my brave team here at One Wisconsin, because we're willing to ask the questions of, well, Scott Walker, are your sons, who are both under 26, still using Obamacare to stay on the taxpayer health care plan? You know, have your kids ever used drugs? Have you ever used drugs? You know, all those sorts of things, all those important questions, the way he treats poor people, you know? The way he treats poor people, and you know, so I make a good living, and my parents eventually made a good living, but you know, when I was a kid growing up, my old man worked in the steel industry, and steel was the first American industry that was outsourced overseas, and at that point in time, a nuclear bomb was dropped in my entire community, and it was so bad that Phil Donahue actually came to my neighborhood to do one of his specials because steel workers were literally killing themselves. And that Scott Walker would make these guys who used to come and hang out at my house drug test to get their unemployment after their industry was outsourced by American government. It is a level of offense I have that, you know, nearly, you know, drives me to, you know, to rage.
It is proven that state after state has tried this. It has been completely ineffective. People that are poor in generally are actually using drugs at a lower rate. Well, my sneaking suspicion, and I'm sure you're going to be looking into this if I know you, and I've known you 20 years now, there's money to be made in the contract, and there's payoffs to be made for whoever gets the contract for the drug testing.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right, Sly. Somebody's going to make money off of the drug testing, that's for sure. The same way that somebody makes money off of the high-stakes testing of our kids in public schools. You know, we have a different, you know, we're not like Florida where, you know, the governor actually, since Walker's never had a real job in his whole life, it's not where, you know, it's not like down there where Rick Scott was getting the money for drug testing his constituents. But yeah, there's obviously some kind of deal in there. We're going to keep an eye on it. And obviously, you'll be the first to know if we find anything on that. But yeah, we are careening towards a point in time where Wisconsin may be the first state in the entire United States in its history, in the history of this country, and at least as long as we've had Medicaid, that people would be drug tested in order to be able to get their Medicaid benefits.
Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now, here at sliceoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. I know you like that. Right Wisconsin, now written by a different editor.
Wiggy News.
Uh-huh. They shot back at you saying that this is just silly and that the Republican Governors Associations called this a stunt.
Yes, they did. They did. And we had a couple of responses. We said, you know, taking money off of a group of people who, if people use their product, use their benefits, is a stunt. You know? One, you're never going to have, I mean, you know, obviously Scripps, you know, EW Scripps, corporate, you know, GOP shill, Right Wisconsin is going to do what it does, you know, which is to advance Republican ideas and attack liberals, progressives, and Democrats. But the RGA, you know, I mean, we've continued to push this because we think that it's a real vulnerability because, again, it shows the thin skin that Scott Walker had. Because he didn't have to have the RGA respond to the reporters here. They could have just not responded. But he has such thin skin, and we are under that thin skin here at One Wisconsin Now, and I know because he's called me out at a press conference before. He had to have somebody respond. Our job, I think, as activists, is to make sure that, you know, this isn't a one-day story. You know, that we are continuing to be reminded of the fact that he will do and say anything in order to win an election, and he will do or say anything to punish poor people in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, I make no bones about the fact that I have struggled in the past with, you know, things I have ingested into my body. In the 1990s, Scott Walker criminalized addiction when he was the chair of the Assembly Corrections Committee. He put, you know, people for things like crack sentences in prison for long periods of time that include long periods of extended supervision, which means those people get out of prison, but they can't vote. Now he's criminalizing poverty. It should be an affront to every person here in the state of Wisconsin. And I'll be honest with you, Sly, if the people of Wisconsin allow this man to be elected for a third term, I don't know that I can be a part of this state anymore. Because he has done so much damage to us. And when you really, really start attacking poor people simply for being poor and you start treating them as third-class citizens, they're just drug users and such, that's beyond my values. It's beneath the dignity of the people of Wisconsin. The good news is I think somebody's going to beat him this time.
You know, he keeps beating this drum that he's doing this for the benefit of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Right Wisconsin said that that they suspect the Democrats are just angry the pot industry is thinking that their business interests might be adversely affected by Democratic policies.
They say, you know, too cute by half. I think that was too stupid by half.
They also went on to defend the governor, saying that, in fact, he hadn't solicited the money.
Oh, get a life. I mean, the guy put out a... I mean, that's what we... At the press conference, one of the reporters said that when we were taking questions. Well, Walker didn't... Do you have evidence that Walker actually took the money? I said, here's the press release that he put out and gave you 3 days ago that said, I just raised $17 million for the RGA. Would that be enough for you? You know? And I would point out, like, two of the biggest news outlets in the state who have done nothing but trumpet. I mean, the Wisconsin State Journal didn't cover the event. They didn't run a story in the event. There's not been a bigger cheerleader for any time the Republicans have done their opioid daughters thing, which is our code word, because, like, now that, you know, you have young white girls who are having opioid troubles, it's suddenly a critically important issue that we have to address and be compassionate at when it comes to drug abuse. You know, so every time there's a story, whether it's Schimmel talking about opioid daughters, the Republicans doing their bills that will do nothing to help, you know, opioid people, all that stuff. At the same time, they're trying to cut health care, right, which is the real way that you get off of drugs with treatment, early intervention and treatment. And, yeah, I couldn't be bothered to cover the story.
The other argument that Right Wisconsin makes is that you shouldn't be speaking up on this because Melissa Sargent has a bill in the assembly to legalize marijuana.
Well, first of all, I'm not Melissa Sargent. Second of all, I don't see that there's any problem with pointing out that Scott Walker is the one who not only wants to continue to keep marijuana illegal, but he wants to make people lose their benefits if they utilize the product, and yet he's taking $25,000 for the industry. It was a cheap shot by Right Wisconsin. Not that, you know, they cater in cheap shots. The thing is, most people don't pay attention to them.
Stand by. We'll talk more with Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now, at Sly's Office.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
When you hire a lawyer to help you with your personal injury, you want to know that you'll have that lawyer's personal attention. With John and I, that's exactly what you'll get. With many firms, the lawyer that you see in the ad is not the lawyer who's going to be representing you in the case.
One of the differences with Mike and my practice is that when you hire us, you'll have us personally involved in your case.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
Sly'sOffice.com brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors like Madison Computer Works and AMS. Joining us again, Scott Ross from One Wisconsin Now. Before we started recording this podcast today, you brought up your favorite Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're a big fan of his.
I sure am. Precious Paul, literally if you took, you know, a Petri dish and poured in white and privilege and waved $100 bills over it, Paul Ryan would spring out of it.
You're getting close to Steve Bannon there, Scott.
Come on. Steve Bannon, you know what? Steve Bannon, the only guy who looks like he's, he's chauffeured from a park bench every day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. He makes me look polished. Okay, so here's Paul Ryan is on with Mike Gushay over the weekend, and
I look forward to the hard hitting questions.
Here is part of the interview.
Has the president been helpful in this process?
Yeah,
he calls you into the Rose Garden and praises you for passage of it, and the next day calls it mean.
Yeah,
has he been helpful?
Yeah, he's had a few slips of the tongue, that's for sure, on things like that. That calling it mean, I think, is just, I just fundamentally disagree with this. I don't think he believes that either, actually. I think he's been extremely engaging and helpful in that he's been working on trying to get members of Congress to yes. He had the senators down there for a lunch just the other day. They restarted their talks. That's because he re-kickstarted conversations in the Senate to get this going. So actually, he's been very helpful in getting people to talk to one another to come to solutions. And that's been the kind of engagement he's had on this issue is more than I've seen any president engage in an issue.
Yeah. So here you go. Follow-up question. So, Speaker Ryan, 22 million people are going to lose health care under your plan, including 400,000 in Wisconsin. What are they supposed to do for health care?
That's what I would have asked.
You know, there, how about a follow-up question? I mean, or on the Gushay program, or follow-up questions for troublemakers? I don't know, but, like, give me a break. We're talking about people's lives here, and they, you know, and the constant refrain about Paul Ryan will killing 24,000 people's health care hurt Paul Ryan's political standing? We'll do an analysis on the front page. You know, I mean, give me a break. Like, these are real people's lives. We can't be playing around with this stuff.
But the notion that Donald Trump is engaged in this in any way, shape, or form is
hilarious.
It's just absurd. And it shows you the lengths and the depths that Paul Ryan will go to stay in good standing with the orange president.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I think it's very clear, Sly. You know, Paul Ryan has, you know, he has established himself as the top dog in the, you know, in the House leadership. And we know because ever since Donald Trump took over the Republican Party, we've watched him make Paul Ryan sit, fetch, speak, and roll over.
All right, here is another portion of that interview.
But the crux of the criticism is that you've lost touch. You've become the Washington guy. And Randy Bryce on this program a few weeks ago made the claim that you had not done a public town hall in more than 600 days. Now, PolitiFact ran that today and said it's mostly true.
Yeah.
So I want to have you respond to the people who say, why won't you do that?
First of all, you get that kind of criticism when you get this kind of a job. You become Speaker of the House with expanded responsibilities. You're going to get that kind of criticism. Second of all, there are extra security concerns that come with this kind of job for doing those kinds of public events. The other point is, it's very clear to us that activists from outside of the district want to bus people in to disrupt our town hall meetings. And it's hard to have a civil, calm conversation with constituents when they're busing protesters in to disrupt your town hall meetings.
How many strong men were in that little soliloquy?
Yeah. Okay, so here follow-up questions unasked. First of all, Speaker Ryan, how can you say that there are, do you have evidence of people being bussed into the town halls that you have not held in 600 days? I mean, that would be my first one. The second one is, you know, and you and I were talking about this before we went on the air, you know, there's video and people can go to onewisconsinnow.org, either our Facebook page, or they can go to our Twitter and see. We posted video from Paul Ryan literally 8 years ago today. And he says, quote, if you rush this thing through before you even know what it is, that's not good for democracy. That's not doing our work for our constituents. What's wrong with going home for August, having town hall meetings, listening to our constituents, and then coming back in September? And this reporter had the temerity, Sly, to actually ask a follow-up question. And Paul Ryan later snips at them and says, so you don't think we should go home and listen to our constituents? You don't think we should go home and have town hall meetings? That is Paul Ryan literally 8 years ago about taking people's health care away. And the question we have for ourselves is, why is the Paul Ryan standard for giving people health care, you know, okay for a black president, but for a white speaker, it is not the standard? You know, it's just ungodly hypocritical. Well, and it is all up to all of us. Paul Ryan has gotten a free ride from the media here in the state of Wisconsin and nationally for 18 years. It is up to every single one of us to start calling the media on this. He cannot continue to get a free pass because he is trying to destroy health care for 22 million people.
And what would be wrong if someone took a bus from Rockford or Lake Zurich, Illinois, and asked him questions? He's a speaker for the entire country.
Well, absolutely.
It's his bill.
But just the idea to be such a coward, such a pampered princess as Paul Ryan is, that he's so afraid to take questions, especially when the whole thing, you know, everything that happened in 2009 and 2010. I mean, I say this, Sly, with all due respect. If this were a Democrat, if the House of Representatives Speaker was Democratic back in 2009, the strokes that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial page, the Kenosha News, the Janesville Gazette, the Racine Journal Times, and good God, Scott Milford over at the Wisconsin State Journal, his strokes would have had strokes if the House Speaker, who was a Democrat, was refusing to have town halls during the health care debate in 2009. And that was about getting people health care, not stealing their health care, and literally killing grandmothers and grandparents by taking away their Medicaid.
Let me ask you about this voter suppression effort.
I'm going to get fired up.
With the Trump administration, is Wisconsin doing all it can to thwart the effort by the Trump administration to take state voter rolls and use them to suppress a vote?
Well, here's another thing where I think it's, you know, the Wisconsin Election Commissioner, the head of the commission, Mike Haass, is doing the right thing. He says, listen, the public is allowed to buy this. If they want to sell me, if the commission wants to buy our voter file, which does not include all the information that they requested, like Social Securities aren't on there and Social Security numbers and stuff aren't there, they can buy it. If they want to put up the check, they can buy it like anybody else. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is that, again, not one single Republican in the state of Wisconsin, whether federal or state or Walker or whoever, has the press said, you know, you guys are in charge. Do you think this is appropriate? Brad Schimmel, the attorney general, not ask one question about whether or not this is appropriate. These guys who went to court, Scott Walker and Brad Schimmel, went to court, and we whooped their asses, you know, when they tried to take away our right to vote. And they will not call, you know, the press will not call those guys and say, is this wrong what they're doing? Is this right what they're doing? You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. And I am, like, harping about the press, but, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, these issues matter. These people have run on these issues here in the state of Wisconsin. There's massive voter fraud. And the idea that the press, not one member of the press, has forced Walker to be on the record about what he thinks about Donald Trump trying to steal our Social Security numbers is appalling. Appalling. You know, not everything is Foxconn and Rhodes. You know, other things.
By the way, if Foxconn comes to Wisconsin, are they going to be putting the netting up around their buildings for when their workers jump out of there?
Yeah, they were just asking that in a meeting today. So is Weedick, you know, is Weedick, is there a grant that you can get for weaving suicide nets?
You know what's remarkable about that is you look at Tom Still crowing over Foxconn, and yesterday the speaker saying, oh, big news could be coming, and patting himself on the back about the connections he's got. You know, all these publications were pro-corporate free trade deals that every one of them Paul Ryan supported, and they didn't even blink an eye at Chrysler and General Motors and Delphi leaving the state. The State Journal, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they didn't care one iota. And now they're going to try to make a big deal out of Foxconn coming to Wisconsin, which, of course, we don't know what's going to happen. By the way, I don't think there's going to be 10,000 jobs.
Oh, God, no. I was asking somebody in the press room today, I was like, where's the evidence of this 10,000 jobs number? There's only so many, you know, there's only so many robot lubing jobs, which, you know, you can have in one factory.
Right.
I mean, this is just garbage. Yeah, no. I mean, they're pretending as though this is like some kind of like, you know, the highest paid job, you know, from what we heard was $65,000. That's barely, you know, what the median income for a family of four is in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, Mike Cushier said it could be a game changer, that the game could be over for the election.
These are folks who have long been supporters of Scott Walker's agenda. You know, that's what, you know, I mean, that's the way things are. Like, I mean, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has basically turned over its front page to Foxconn propaganda.
How come I never see on Cushier's show Phil Neuenfeld or Peter Rickman or any of the
other
people?
Hey, how about
people?
Me? I haven't been on you? Since a couple years ago when we started go after the Bradley Foundation. I used to be on all the time. As soon as we went after the Bradley Foundation, which, you know, financed the Marquette Law School, where the, you know, Franklin poll, the gold standard for all polling that you don't know who pays for it, comes from.
Before we go, I want to ask you about this John K. Bush.
Yes.
Okay, get it together now. Okay. Who is John K. Bush?
John K. Bush. He's appointed by Trump for the Sixth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals, and he literally could not be a worse. Well, I'll leave it to Kamala Harris, Senator Harris from California. She said, like, in no way, shape, or form, on any level of qualification, should John Bush be on the Federal Court of Appeals. He said incendiary things, everything from abortion to slavery, to, you know, opposing the free press, to defending, oh, here's one. He defended male-only military school admission policy because women, quote, have different developmental needs.
Ah.
And, you know, I don't know, it's something for everybody, you know, right? You remember who was the Senator Roman Hruska, who said at that one, you know, the one guy who they said was mediocre is a potential Supreme Court nominee under Nixon. Well, even the mediocre had deserved to be represented. Trump is apparently trying to, you know, make a court system that, you know, everybody's representative, because this guy even defended one of the accusers, one of the cops who beat Rodney King.
Have you noticed, and this is going to be maybe too esoteric a question, have you noticed that people are literally in a state of depression? It is just I know you were apoplectic the other day looking at the campaign finance numbers for Democrats, but it is just amazing what has happened in the last 7 years.
Yeah. One party rule.
Yeah.
You know.
And that compounds. On itself, right?
Bigger margins, more Democrats who won't raise any money, and, you know, we're an old party. You know, the Democrats are ancient.
Oh, here we go.
My state senator's 90 years old. The state senator next to me is 75 years old. The junior member, the junior senator's like 57. You know, I mean, we're an old party. We're not talking about issues that face, you know, sort of the post, you know, the 120 million post baby boomers. You know, every for 25 years, the Democratic message is Social Security, Medicare, and my employer-provided pension is under assault, which are all critically important issues. They don't have a damn thing to do with any of us born after 1965, because we don't have those things.
Oh, God, I'm so close to 1965.
I know.
I'm just into that.
We'll bring it over to you, Insula. How about
okay.
that?
I love hitting that button, though. It's very funny. Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now. We always appreciate you coming on.
You take care of yourself.
All right. Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now at SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.